The Stanley Cup playoffs. I will admit it, I am a true Canadian sports fan. I never tire of watching the skilled players of the NHL compete for what I think, and I think many people do, is the most beautiful trophy in all of professional sports, the Stanley Cup. And what I think makes hockey such a great sport to watch at this time of the year is we begin at the first round of the playoffs with 16 teams, all who have a common goal and a common purpose. Their common goal is to win the cup. Their common purpose is to play a good game in the offensive, the neutral, and the defensive zone. And the team that does that most effectively will win 16 games in four rounds, and they will, by July the 1st, be able to raise that 30-pound trophy above their heads and have one great celebration. Well, I want to suggest to you that the ascension of our Lord is to our Catholic faith what the playoffs are to hockey. Because of the ascension of Jesus Christ, we have clarified for us our common goal, and we know more fully our common purpose. Our common goal is that we will come to share fully in the divinity of Christ, because he chose to humble himself so as to share in our humanity. At every Mass, when the priest brings the wine and then mingles the water with the wine, he silently prays this prayer. By the mystery of this water and wine, may we come to share in the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share in our humanity. Saint Irenaeus, who is one of the earliest church fathers, put it like this: Jesus took on our humanity in order to give us his divinity. So what is our common goal? That we will one day share in the fullness of heaven. We will, in the end, which will then be our eternal beginning, with the help of God, be saints. And this is exactly what St. Paul, in the reading from Ephesians, states this morning. And he says, this is my prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. I love that image when Paul prays that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened. This is about interior conversion. This is about us coming to the deeper realization that because of the ascension of Jesus, we have a solid and lasting hope. We have a glorious inheritance. Back in the 5th century, Pope Leo the Great, who was Pope from 440 to 461, when speaking about the ascension of Jesus, said the following: Today, we are not only made possessors of paradise, but with Christ, we have ascended mystically, but also really to the highest heavens, and have won through Christ a grace more wonderful than the one we had lost in the Garden of Eden. This is the thing that happened to the apostles as they saw Jesus ascended. And do not think of Jesus' ascension as a rocket ship launch. This is Jesus being glorified and then being taken into the cloud. And what does the cloud represent in the Bible? The presence of God. Go back to the book of Exodus. And God guided the people through his cloud. And so now Jesus is being taken up into heaven, and we are told that the apostles were filled with a joy, which was a joy, I think, kind of like winning the Stanley Cup. The ascension strengthens and nourishes our hope of attaining heaven. And so we are invited in every Mass at the beginning of the proper preface, when the priest says, lift up your hearts, and we say we lift them up to the Lord. This is exactly what this is all about, that we are lifting our hearts to that place where we will one day go. And so this is our hope. And it's because of this hope that we have a common goal, the goal of heaven. But here's the thing that we need to hear. As Jesus is ascending, the angels come and they admonish the apostles with these words. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way that you saw him go into heaven. So here's the point. If heaven is our common goal, heaven is not to be our common purpose in the present. We are not to be heaven gazers. Rather, we are to have as our common purpose in this world our eyes fixed on the world so that we can evangelize the world. And we see this clearly articulated by St. Luke, both in our reading from Acts and in his gospel. In Acts, he quotes Jesus to say the following: "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Then in the gospel, he puts it like this: "This it was written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Maybe you've had a time where you have witnessed a car accident and you've gotten a call from the police. They aren't wanting you to kind of be emotional about this. They're not wanting you to kind of fabricate something. They are wanting you to tell them what you saw. And this is so important for us when we think about being witnesses, because we can get all emotional about this, and I get it, because there are so many people who reject our testimony, who reject our witness. But when we understand that our common purpose is to witness to Jesus Christ, then we can be more and more freed to be a people who, in a 2,000-year line of continuity, are doing the exact thing that Jesus called the apostles to do, to witness to him. And it is this that is our common purpose. So what does it mean to witness in the 21st century? Well, back in March of 2014, Pope Francis sent a letter to the bishops of Argentina. And this letter was a follow-up from a meeting that had happened for all of the South American Catholics in 2007. And at that time, they were thinking, how do we evangelize South America? In 2007, they produced a document called Go Into the Deep. And this is taken from Luke chapter 5, where Jesus says to St. Peter, take your boat out into the deep water and let down your nets. I love reading Pope Francis because he writes with just a simplicity and a transparency and an honesty. So let's listen to our Holy Father as he encourages us now to know and to put into practice our common purpose, which is to be witnesses. So now I'm quoting the Pope. I express to you a desire that we will be a church that will go into the deep. May the whole of ministry be in a missionary key. Isn't that a great phrase? That the key that we are singing in is missionary. So it's got, I think it's in a major key. And it's going to have about it a power and an enthusiasm and a passion. So he goes on to say, we must come out of ourselves and go to all of the peripheries of the world, and we need to grow in boldness. This next part's really good. A church that does not go out, sooner or later, gets sick and closed in on herself. It's also true that to be a church that goes out, well, something can happen. It can be that a person will go out into the street and they will have an accident. Given the alternative, I wish to say to you, frankly, that I prefer 1,000 times an injured church rather than a sick church. The typical illness of the shut-in church is self-reference, to look at herself, to be bent over herself, like the woman in the gospel. It is a kind of narcissism that leads us to spiritual worldliness and to sophisticated clericalism. And then it impedes our experiencing the sweet and comforting joy of evangelizing. And don't we see this in Pope Francis? He just has about him this freedom, this understanding that I am to witness to Jesus Christ. And he's willing to go out and to stretch the boundaries and to be a church where, yes, as he says, we might have accidents, but I'd rather an injured church than a sick church. Then he goes on to conclude, I wish all of you this joy, which so many times is united to the cross, but which saves us from resentment, sadness, and clerical solitude. This joy helps us to be each day more fruitful, spending ourselves and unraveling ourselves in the service of the holy, faithful people of God. This joy will grow increasingly to the degree that we take seriously the pastoral conversion that the church asks of us. So let me just summarize this. Think about our Lord's 3 years of ministry. He was at the center of that ministry. But after he went into heaven, he would carry on that ministry through the church. That's why we have two books by St. Luke. The Acts of Jesus, book one, the gospel. The Acts of the Church, the Acts of the Apostles, book two. But they are interconnected. And what St. Luke, Pope Francis would have us understand is that we have a common purpose, and it is to be a missional church. I love being at St. Peter's. This is a community that has a clear understanding of our common goal, which is heaven, and so we understand our common purpose, which is expressed in our corporate life. May we be inspired by the Feast of the Ascension to become ever more committed to this common purpose to bring Jesus to those who are without hope. We are a mission-minded community here. But Jesus is calling us and saying, St. Peter's, like your patron, go out into the deep water. Put down your nets. And who knows what you will catch. As we live in this way, as we live in light of the ascension of Jesus, we will know a joy greater than any sporting trophy, even the Stanley Cup. It is the joy of knowing the hope to which God has called us, to know what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. We do have a common goal. It is heaven. We are to have a common purpose, which is mission.